It's great to see you. Thanks for coming along and joining us this morning. Welcome to, if you are listening in later on to a recording of this from home. It's great that we can be gathered together in various ways. My name is David Horrocks. I work for the church. I'm going to lead us through our time together this morning. This morning we're finishing our little series on church that we started 3 weeks ago. Julian, our minister, is going to be preaching. Let me just remind you of the COVID rules. I'm sure you're well aware of most of these by now, so please do keep face coverings on unless you're exempt from having to wear one of those or up here behind this screen. Please do stay in your seats unless there's a really urgent reason why you need to move. If there is, that's absolutely fine. Don't forget, we're not allowed to sing. You're allowed to hum quietly behind your mask, but no singing. And we do have access to the disabled loo in the village hall. Key to the village hall is at the back, so if you need that at any stage, do grab that from Angela. Well, why are we here? Why have you turned up to church this morning? In our series so far, we've thought about a number of different things that are going on when we gather together, as we're doing now, as we gather Sunday by Sunday. And these opening words on the service sheet, just have a look at them there. Based on the formal Anglican introduction to a church service, they pull together so many of the different things that we've looked at over the last few weeks. So many reasons why it is such a good thing, such a privilege for us to gather as we're doing now. And let's remind ourselves of some of these things as we say together these words of introduction. So we say together, we have come together in the name of Christ, in the presence of Almighty God and of the whole company of heaven, to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. That's what we're about this morning. It's great to be here together. We've come to offer praise and thanksgiving, we just said. Worship, we saw last week, is something that we're busy with in all of life. We worship God in all of life, but especially when we gather together as we're doing now. And that's the theme of this first song that we're going to listen to. And don't you love the realism of this first song? Just have a look at the second verse there. I wonder how you're feeling as you come to church this morning. Maybe you've had a brilliant week, you're on top of the world. Perhaps it's been really hard, you've only just made it here. Well, it doesn't matter, this says. We're all welcome. Whatever kinds of weeks we're coming in from, it's brilliant to be here to worship him. Let's do that as we listen to this first song together now. glance back to that second verse of that song we've just heard. Look at the second half of that second verse. His perfect love will never change. His mercies never cease, but follow us through all our days with the certain hope of peace. Or, as it's put in the Old Testament book of Lamentations, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. He's so constantly kind and compassionate to people like us, not least in his willingness to forgive us for our sins as we turn to him for that forgiveness again and again, as we're going to do now in this prayer of confession, halfway down page 2 of the service sheet. We come before him to admit we've messed up, to say sorry, to ask his forgiveness and his help for the future. We'll be quiet for just a moment. Maybe we want to think of particular things we're saying sorry for. And then let's pray this prayer together. Let's pray. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Let's continue in prayer for a moment. Father, thank you for the kind of God that you are, a God of such great love. Thank you that your compassion towards us never fails, that it's new every morning, that you are so faithful. And we praise you that you have promised to forgive us as we turn to you from our sin. Thank you that you've done that again now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we've explained, we can't sing when we're together in church at the moment. That's not permitted, but we can speak. And it's been a great blessing for us over recent months to say psalms together. Hymns from God's hymn book in the Old Testament. Words, it's wonderful to think of this, isn't it? That Jesus said when he was around as well. And we're going to do that together now. We're going to say together Psalm 133. The words are on the service sheet there. Is it good for us to be together like this? It is such a good thing for God's people to be together, the psalm reminds us. And it uses these wonderful images from life back then. It's such a sacred thing when God's people are together. It's such a fruitful thing. It really is the place of very great blessing indeed. I'm going to invite everyone, let's stand. Stand, a chance to stretch your legs, get the blood flowing to your toes again. And let's say together Psalm 133. So we say, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Do grab a seat. We're going to pray together now. I'm going to lead us in three prayers. And then we'll say together the Lord's Prayer. The words are there on the service sheet as well. We're going to pray first for one of our mission partners, Yeldal Manor, a drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre for men based near Twyford, a Christian institution. We're going to pray for them. They're the organisation we're particularly focused on in January. Then we'll pray for our nation and for our world, and then for some matters around the church family too. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the work that goes on at Yeldal Manor and for the privilege it is for us to partner with them. We thank you for the ways that you have helped them to adapt what they do and to continue their work over the course of this last year with all the extra restrictions that is involved. And thank you for all those you have helped there in the face of drug and alcohol addictions. Thank you for every opportunity they have had to point residents to the Lord Jesus too. And by your Spirit, please would each resident who is there at the moment be helped enormously in the struggles that they're facing, and above all, come to find peace and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that you give great wisdom to those who lead the work at Yeldal. going into this next year, and we pray for your financial provision in this year ahead. Please do provide and use them for your glory and for great good, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, as the death toll from the virus continues to rise day by day, we do pray that you would be very merciful and turn back this virus in our country and around the world. We pray that in your mercy you would give life to the dying, comfort to the bereaved, and great strength and compassion to all who care for them. We pray for wisdom for our government in every decision that they have to make, and especially as they try to care for those who are most vulnerable in our society. We thank you this week for positive news about more new vaccines, and we thank you too that that tension with the EU seems to have been partially resolved at least. We do pray for good sense, selflessness, compassion, and cooperation as vaccines are distributed both across Europe and across the whole world. And we pray especially for a much greater concern to get vaccines into the very poorest nations of the world. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for our church family and for the privilege of doing life together as we follow you. And we pray again today, especially for those who are unable to come along to church services at the moment. Please would you sustain them in their faith. Help them to walk closely with you and to know fellowship with others. We pray for great care of one another right across this church family. We pray for those who are vulnerable and shielding at the moment that you would guard them against infection. We pray for those who've lost jobs or who are worried about jobs in the future and ask that you would provide for them. We pray for those who are lonely, that you would give them a deep sense of your companionship in the Lord Jesus. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. And please, would that be a great witness to our wider community? Would many look in and see how we love one another and want to know more about why we live that way and come to meet you for themselves? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And then let's say together the Lord's Prayer. So we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, in a moment, Julian will come and preach, but first we're going to have our reading, and Fiona is going to come and read this passage for us now.
Our reading is from Hebrews 10, reading from verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Great. Well, do if you can just keep that open so you can see it. We're going to look closely at those verses. But let's pray that God would help us as we look at his word together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this time, this moment, to listen to your voice. And so we pray you'd help us to put aside the concerns of this week. And we pray your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And we pray that you would be shaping us more into the people that you want us to be. for we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is our fourth and final week where we've been answering a question: why bother with church? Why bother with meeting together? We've acknowledged that we're asking that question at a time where not all of us are able to meet. We know that some have made a careful decision not to come at the moment. But we do think this is a really good time for us to think about the point of church, the point of meeting together. Because we think once we understand what a special thing it is, it'll give us a real appetite to be here or to be back together when that's possible, and to come with the right mindset for how special this time is. Why bother with church? So far, we've seen two big answers that the Bible gives to that question. First, because of what the church is. See, church isn't a building. It's people who have come to Jesus. And we're not just individual believers. We're members, the Bible says, of one body. We belong together. And so we express that unity as we gather together. Secondly, because although God is everywhere, he especially meets with us as when we gather as church. That's the particular time when he speaks to us and feeds us and provides all that we need to serve him in the rest of life. Well, today we come to our third reason, and it's laid out clearly here in verses 24 and 25. Have a look. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, some of you maybe have been Christians for a long time, and you might well be familiar with these verses, because verse 25 has those clear words about not giving up meeting together. It's the kind of verse that you might have been encouraged to learn to remind you of the importance of going to church. I certainly remember that as a teenager. But I don't remember being told why I needed to go to church, which is daft, really, because it's there, clear as day, in the same verse. We're not to give up meeting together, but rather we should meet in order to encourage one another. Why bother with church? Well, as well as the other two things we've seen so far, we're to meet to encourage one another. And that's what we're going to think about today. Two things. First, why? Why should we meet to encourage one another? And then how? How do we go about it? So first, why should we meet to encourage one another? And the answer is, it is one of the essentials for keeping going as a Christian. As David said a couple of weeks ago, this letter, Hebrews, is less like a letter, more like a sermon. It's described at the end as a word of exhortation. And if you were to sum up the message, you could do a lot worse than keep going. See, the original readers, they were Christians from a Jewish background, and they were sort of tempted to give up on Jesus. Largely, I think, because they were facing a lot of opposition for their faith. Later in the chapter, it talks about how they'd been insulted and persecuted. Some had been imprisoned or had property confiscated. It had been really hard. And then as well as that, the letter mentions their battle against sin. Maybe they were just fed up with themselves. They felt they dishonored God and hurt others. So they were tempted to give up. And maybe you can identify with them. Maybe you're fed up with the opposition that you're facing for your faith, either from people you know, or in the media perhaps, Christians being mocked once again. Or you're just fed up with yourself. You just can't break those patterns of sin. You feel like giving up. Well, the message of Hebrews is keep going. And in our verses, which is a summary of a lot of what's come before, we're told that if we're going to carry on, keep going, there are three essentials we all need. Three essentials. Now, the way to remember them, it's a bit corny, but it works. We all know how salad is good for us, don't we? Salad is good for us. Well, here we've got three lettuces, okay? The first is in verse 22. Let us, see, I told you it was corny, let us draw near to God. There it is, first lettuce. Now, as with all salad, the key is preparation. So we've got to read from verse 19 to to understand it. Verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, it sounds complex. He's using temple language, but this is just the wonderful good news of the gospel, that Jesus has opened the way to God for sinners like us. Through his death, he has washed the guilt of our sins away. And Jesus is human. He understands our weaknesses and he welcomes us into God's presence. So believe the gospel and don't hold back. That's our first essential to keep going. Let us draw near to God. The second is in verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. In other words, remember where you're going. The Lord has promised us a glorious future when we will be with him forever and all will be well. Things may be hard now, but they won't always be. Hold on to that promise, because God always, always keeps his promises. That's the second essential. And now we come to the third. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And why have we spent all this time getting to our verses? Well, because as we think about church, we need to see that church isn't just another Christian thing that we might have to do. Rather, it's one of the essentials God says we need if we're going to keep going. So can I ask you, are you struggling? Are you finding the Christian life a struggle to do the right thing and live the right way for him? Well, have you got the essentials in place? We need to believe the gospel, draw near to God. We need to hold on to our hope. And we need to meet together to encourage one another. And that's the one we're going to focus on today. We've seen why. It's one of the essentials we need to keep going. But now how? How do we encourage one another? What does encouragement mean? I think the first thing to say is it probably means more than we think it means. I think we often reduce encouragement to just being generally supportive of one another. But what we're describing here is more focused. We're to encourage one another to persevere in following Jesus right to the end. Notice verse 25 says, we're to encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, that day is the day when Christ returns. It'll be a day of judgment, and also the day when he will bring eternal salvation. He'll rescue his people to be with him forever. See, that day brings a real focus to our encouragement, doesn't it? The word encouraging in verse 25 is the same word as exhorting. Remember, the whole letter is a word of exhortation. So the writer, he is urging Christians to keep going to the end. And now we see he expects the Hebrews to follow his example as they encourage and exhort one another as well. You see, we need one another to keep going, to spur each other on. And that phrase is one we find in verse 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Our children here today, they've got some worksheets, and I think they've been told to think about how spurs are used on a horse, to kind of, you dig them into the horse to move it on when it's reluctant to get going. Well, that's a bit like you and me in the Christian life, isn't it? We can be very slow and reluctant, slow to pray and trust God when things go wrong. We can be very sluggish about taking opportunities to serve others and not ourselves. We can be very hesitant about speaking up about the Lord. We can be really stubborn about the way we relate to people. So what do we need? We need one another to spur each other on towards love and good deeds. as I've reflected on this, I've been struck by how kind of outward looking and practical that phrase is, love and good deeds. See, encouragement is not just about a spiritual pick-me-up for us to experience at church. We're to spur each other on to be good neighbours and good friends and good husbands and wives and children, good employees, good citizens, so that we might be a blessing to others wherever we are, to be salt and light, as Jesus says. But we need one another to do that, to spur each other on. Other translations say to stir each other up. We struggle to live godly lives on our own, and God doesn't mean us to. He's given us one another to encourage one another. Okay, so let's say that we're convinced of that, okay? The Lord wants us to spur each other on. But how do we do it? How do we go about it? Well, I've got some guidelines we see from these verses. So first, it requires thought. Verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It takes thought. Not much encouragement happens by accident. As we get to know one another and we learn of our different situations and our different opportunities, our different struggles, we need to think, how could I encourage them in that situation? You know, could I pray for that struggle? Could I share from my experience? Could I remind them of a verse? Or could I just offer to help them out practically? I can think of a couple of people who've come to me and said things like, some time ago you asked us to pray about something. And I have been praying for you. How's it going? Or I've been wondering if this might help. See, that thoughtfulness is an encouragement. It requires thought. Second, it requires being there. If verse 25 is saying we need to meet together to encourage one another, well, we need to meet together in the first place. Now, obviously, we can't do that as we would like to at the moment. But in normal times, this surely stresses the importance of coming along week by week. It should be our habit. Now, clearly, some of the Hebrews are in the habit of not meeting together, we're told. And that can very easily happen, can't it? You know, you maybe miss a week occasionally because of work pressure or some event. And then work always seems to be pressured, or other things keep coming up. And suddenly the weeks have gone by and you're out of the habit. I wonder, could it be said of you that you used to go to church regularly, but now, if you're honest, you're in the habit of not going? Well, if so, let us hear those words. Don't give up meeting together. Understand it's one of the essentials for keeping going. And do something about it. Start to build a new habit. There's lots written about the power of habits these days. I'm a sucker for books like that. And apparently, if you want to build a good habit, then you need to do something every day for 3 weeks. And once you've done that, it'll just kind of be in your system. You'll do it without thinking. It's a good habit. Well, if you're trying to get back into the habit of meeting together, coming to church, well, why not decide I'm going to come every week for a month? Now, I bet if you do that, the week after, you'll feel, well, I'll go to church just because that's what I do now. It'd be a good thing to do. It'd be a good habit. Maybe you could start that habit. Maybe you could start today. Or maybe the end of restrictions would be a good time to start. We need to be here. So it requires thought. It requires being here. It requires thinking of others, not just ourselves. Now, that goes very much against our natural instincts, doesn't it? We very easily think of ourselves. And that can affect how we think about whether we go to church or not. You know, sometimes we might think, I don't feel like going to church this week because I don't feel up to it, or I've got so much on. Well, actually, as we heard last week, we need to trust God that he will give us just what we need when we come to as we draw near together. But wouldn't it be great if our thought also went like this? I don't feel great and I've got a lot on, but I will go in order to encourage others. I'm going to pray that the Lord would strengthen me to do that because I don't feel like it. It'd be great if we thought like that, wouldn't it? Now, maybe we feel, at the moment, I can't encourage anyone because I can't really say anything to people while I'm here. And yes, it's true, we are restricted at the moment. But I will say that if you're willing at the moment to come in these circumstances, don't underestimate the encouragement that we give to others just by being here. You know, seeing your brothers and sisters around you, gathering in his name, still here, despite the masks, despite the cold, despite the fact that we can't sing, still gathering. And especially knowing that some are finding this time really hard. So we're still here. It's a great encouragement. Now, again, we do understand the decision some have made to sort of listen in at home for the time being. But I hope this will give you more of a vision for that happy day when all of us can gather again. Let's come ready to think of others and encourage one another. And then normally, it requires words. As I said earlier, the word for encourage is the same word that describes this whole letter. Like the whole letter, we're to exhort each other to keep going to the end, to keep trusting Christ till he returns or calls me home, as the song goes. And in normal circumstances, that will involve speaking to one another. Now, what we say will depend, won't it? This word for encourage is used in different places in the New Testament to mean comfort, encourage, exhort, or warn. And what we say will depend on the person, their situation, what's going on, how well we know them. But we can all pray for opportunities to speak words of encouragement to one another. In normal circumstances, it means making the most of the time after a service, because that's when we get to share life and get to know each other, find out how we can encourage one another. So try not to rush off. And let's pray that we can get beyond just the kind of chit-chat to find out how we can spur each other on to keep going. Of course, much of this happens in our small groups, our house groups as well. That's a great place for encouragement because relationships kind of deepen, don't they, with those we get to know better. But there in our groups, I wonder, perhaps we do need to pray that we're willing to really exhort each other, that we're willing to challenge one another as well as comfort each other. I say that because I think in our culture, we're often very good at affirming one another, and that's often a great thing, but we do need to watch that we don't affirm too quickly. I think I've experienced this. You know, you'll be in a group and someone will share something, they'll say, oh, struggling at the moment, I keep losing my temper at home, or something like that. And we can be very quick to say, oh, don't worry, you're under such pressure, you know, you're so busy, don't worry. When actually, well, no, that's something to change, that's something to repent of. It's great that they've shared it, and so we should pray for them. We should give thanks for God's grace and his forgiveness, but pray the Lord would strengthen them to act differently next time. So our encouragement should be directed towards making sure they're keeping going, trusting and obeying Jesus until the day when they see him face to face. So it's a wonderful privilege being a Christian. It's an amazing thing to know God, but it's not easy. And maybe you're aware of that at the moment. So what's going to keep us going? Well, let us believe the gospel, draw near to God. Let us hold on to our hope for the future. And let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as we see the day approaching. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we do acknowledge that life can be hard. It can be hard keeping going, hard following you, hard loving others. But we thank you, Lord, that you have given us all that we need to keep going. We thank you for your grace and your mercy to us in Jesus. We thank you for your great promise of hope for the future. And we thank you for giving us one another as well. We pray, Lord, you'd help us each to play our part, that as we gather, we would have the mindset to encourage and spur one another on. Give us wisdom to do that. Give us love for each other. Give us the right words, we pray, that we might keep going to the end. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, the final song that we're going to listen to now is another great song of praise, another great hymn of praise. We join heaven as we gather for church. We thought about that last week. And what are they doing right now? Well, the book of Revelation tells us they are praising the Lord Jesus, eyes fixed on him. They're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." And we're going to join in worshipping him now as we listen to this final hymn together. Well, thank you again for joining us for our service this morning. It's great you've been able to be here. Quick reminder, don't forget to stay in your seats as we finish, and please do wait there until Angela gives you the nod to leave, and then we do need to ask people to be on their way, I'm afraid. Do avoid bunching. We want to keep that 2 meter distancing as people head out and away to cars. One of the activities for children this morning, it may be on those worksheets that you've been looking at, I know Isabel's been in touch with many of you parents, is just suggesting it would be a lovely thing for children to do, to put what we've looked at today into practice, to be sending cards to perhaps especially older members of the church family who aren't able to be coming to church at the moment. And there are some printed cards at the back that could be coloured in and that children can write in and send out later this week. That would be a brilliant thing to do, so do collect those as you head away. And then don't forget, we have a Zoom coffee, a church Zoom coffee, in 45 minutes, 11:30, so plenty of time to nip home, make a cup of coffee, and connect online for that. Let me lead us in a final prayer now. Let's pray. Now may the God in whose name we've gathered, the Father who chose us, the Son who bought us, and the Spirit who lives within us, go before us into this next week. Stand beside us in our fears, use us for his glory, and keep us encouraging one another until the day Jesus returns. Amen.